The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Don't be too quick to write off the chief priests and the elders in today's gospel. At a glance, we may think they are being hard-hearted or unable to comprehend who Jesus is, even though he was standing there in front of them. The chief priests and elders were doing exactly what they thought they needed to do to protect what was most important to them and to their community. Now, we tend to place our focus on our individual well-being. In Jesus' day, the focus was much more communal. The temple was the most important place for the community because it was the place that God promised to meet God's people. So the protection of the temple became of utmost importance. But the chief priests and elders had a problem. They didn't have authority or power over anything but the temple. The Roman government had all of the power. And in exchange for allowing the Jewish people of Jesus' day to keep worshiping in the temple, the chief priests and elders gave the Roman government authority over some aspects of how the temple was run. They had to make some concessions to Rome to protect what was most important to them. And this is where Jesus is going to bump heads with the chief priests and the elders. Before today's story, where Jesus is teaching in the temple, he had been doing some things that were much more dangerous. Chapter 21 begins with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The crowds are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" This is, of course, the scripture that we hear on Palm Sunday. This is Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is certainly a moment where the chief priests and elders are nervous because the tenuous agreement that they have made is at stake. And if that is not enough, when Jesus arrives at the temple, he gets down off of the donkey and begins to drive out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. And now the chief priests and elders are even more nervous, because part of the deal that they had made was that Rome got a cut of the business being done in the temple in exchange for being left alone. Now Jesus has driven that business away. It's the very next day, after the temple cleansing, that Jesus enters the temple again and is in the middle of teaching when the chief priests and elders seem to have had enough. They ask, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" You see, for the chief priests and the elders, Jesus' authority better have a whole army behind it, or else there is going to be trouble. But we know that Jesus isn't interested in power because his authority comes from God, and he's not interested in building an army. Now, the authority question is big throughout Matthew's gospel. We hear it first at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And in chapter 9, we hear Jesus heals a man who is paralyzed, and there he says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed, and go home." The chief priests and elders had first seen John teaching with authority and the ways the crowds reacted to him. And now they see Jesus teaching with authority and how the crowds react to him, and they are afraid of what will come next. So the question seems logical that the chief priests and elders would ask, "Where does your authority come from?" But I think the chief priests and the elders already knew the answer to their question. I think we as well know that God is the ultimate authority in our lives. So if the question isn't about ultimate authority, what then is the question that we should be asking? Well, instead of answering the question, I'm going to take a page from Jesus and tell you a parable that Jesus told to them. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Jesus knows that the chief priests and the elders and each one of us know the answer to the question of who has ultimate authority. So if they know and we know the answer, what are we going to do with that information? Are we going to be the child who says, "I don't really feel like working in the vineyard today," but then later realize how disrespectful they had been and head out to do the work? Or are we going to be the child that says, "I'm on it, Dad. I'll get the work in the vineyard done," but instead spends the day hanging out with their buddies? The parable is trying to illustrate for all who hear that our actions are more important than our words. And our actions should be shaped and will be shaped by what Jesus has and will command us to do. I think Jesus in Matthew's gospel is pushing us to chapter 5 and on to chapter 28, the end of the gospel. I think if we wonder what working in the vineyard might entail, Jesus says, "Come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Siblings in Christ, where are you placing authority with your actions? Will we fall into the trap that the chief priests and the elders found themselves in? Will we give authority to nation over God, conceding to power and not the authority of God? We have the ability to look forward in Matthew's gospel to after the resurrection, to the last words spoken by Jesus in the gospel. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. If our actions follow Christ's command to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, visit the imprisoned, make disciples, teach what Jesus has commanded, then our actions will reflect the one in whom we find true authority. What then are we to do as laborers in the vineyard today? Matthew 25 is the place to start. But we are also called to see God in every person we meet each day. Each person we meet has been created in the image of God, and God calls what God has created good. So when you look at the struggle of our nation right now, when you see that people are not valued as equals because of the color of their skin, when you see that poverty and incarceration are higher among black and brown people, especially black and brown men, when you see that housing values are adjusted by the number of people of color in a neighborhood and not by the condition of the houses, it's not time to say, I'm yielding to the power of the day and protecting my own. But instead, we are being called to work in the vineyard. It's time to come to action for our siblings in Christ who are black and brown because their lives are sacred. It's time to listen to the struggles of the people who we call minorities in our midst, and we need to listen to understand their struggle and not simply to respond from a place of privilege. When you see people protesting, vineyard work means trying to understand the anger and frustration that comes from speaking out in this way, even when it makes us feel uncomfortable. If you want peace in the streets, then you have to work for justice in the systems of this nation. And this brings me, I think, to a new understanding of that familiar verse in Matthew 9. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Given the choice, we're more likely to respond like the second son, promising to do the work, but then never stepping foot in the vineyard. Seeking justice for the oppressed is an easy work, and it's easier to not notice. Professing our faith in God with our words, but having our actions tell a very different story. Jesus doesn't promise that the work will be easy, or that it can be done without sacrifice. Jesus doesn't even promise that we will get it right. The chief priests and the elders had made a deal with Rome, but Jesus doesn't condemn them. Instead, he says, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. They're still going into the kingdom of God. When we have fallen short, we are invited into community to confess our sin, to be encouraged for the journey, and to be nourished at the table. We come as beggars in need, and we leave as ones who are forgiven by God. And when we fall short, we can get in line with the chief priests and the elders and take our spot. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to Jesus. Jesus walks into the temples of our lives and flips over the tables and drives out the things that shouldn't be there. Jesus calls out when we have yielded to the power of the day and our actions and our words don't match. Jesus calls us to work in the vineyard where we are to show compassion to those in need and recognize the image of God in each person. Jesus has the authority to send us out into the world where we are to serve the least in our midst. We have Jesus' promise that we do not go out alone, because Jesus will be with us to the end of the age. Jesus has been given authority over heaven and earth. Will we respond to his authority, or will we yield to another power? Amen.